Hey, welcome to Life Church. We pray this blesses you and empowers you for your week ahead. We hope you enjoy this message.
Amen, amen. Good to have a bit of joy in the house. The rain might be falling, but the sun is still shining. Come on, Jesus. Oh, it's cheesy, but I like it. Aaron's like, oh my gosh. Couldn't resist it. Well, it's great to see you all this morning. We're going to get straight into the word because I'd love us to have a little bit of room at the end of the service to pray together and to pray over you about what I'm going to share with you today. So I'm going to get straight into it. Have you ever driven the wrong way down a one-way road? Oh, okay. It's a larger response than I thought. It's quite easily done these days because there's a lot of them. And it's at what point do you realize? Because obviously you don't realize you're going the wrong way down a one-way street. And the defense of, officer, I was only going one way, doesn't count. So you're heading down and you realize all the other cars are actually pointing the other direction, but sometimes it's only when a car actually comes the other direction and starts saying, excuse me, sir, you seem to be going the wrong way, out of the window and beeping their horn, because that's how people act in cars in Bradford, isn't it? But you get that sense, I'm definitely going the wrong way here. Or I don't know if you've ever had the experience when you're trying to get somewhere and everybody else is going the other way. It's happened to me a number of times when I've been on the way to church, particularly in an afternoon on a Sunday, and Bradford City Football has just finished a match, and everybody is going the other way. And you're trying to come this way, and everybody is looking at you like you've got two heads. Like, what are you doing? And there's crowds walking across the road made for cars, and you're driving, and people are looking at you like, well, you shouldn't be here. And I'm thinking, no, I think this is right. Those two experiences, I think, are a little bit of a picture, in my mind, of what it is to have a life of faith sometimes. Because we're trying to live out our life of faith, but everything is coming at us in the other direction. And everybody is looking at us like we're the strange ones. We're trying to live the way that Jesus taught, the life that we've been called to live, but everything's coming, the flow is going the other way. And it's really easy to acquiesce, to just fit in with that flow and think, do you know what, it's not worth the hassle sometimes. I'll just lower my standards, I'll just lower the change the direction I was going. And that's sometimes what can happen because our faith can feel like that. Sometimes we feel like we don't fit in. I want to say to you young people and students, there will be times in your school and in your university where you think, I don't fit in. And do you know what? In one sense, you don't. Because you are living to a higher standard. You are called to something else. You are called to live to a higher level. So in one way, I would say it's probably good if you feel like you don't fit in. I know that's not easy to hear. But the message of Jesus was countercultural. Jesus was a disruptive force in society. Again, it's not comfortable to think about, but we are not called to just go along with society. We are called to bring change and to disrupt. When you think about Jesus and what he brought grace into a world of legalism. He was confronted with Pharisees and Sadducees who had over 600 specific written laws and principles that you had to follow to the letter or you couldn't even get close to God. And Jesus said, do you know what? It's all just about relationships. It's about accepting him, Jesus, and loving the Lord your God. It's a simple, well, people don't like that when they've built their life around 500 things, 600 things that I have to do. Jesus was a disruptive force. He turned things upside down. He modeled humility and kindness. He redefined what greatness was. When people were fighting over what is true greatness, he said, let the little kids come to me. He said, we've got to be like these. Or he got down and he washed the disciples' feet. And they were like, no, you can't do that, Jesus. And Jesus was saying, no, I'm showing you another way. He said things like the last will be first and the first will be last. What was he doing? He was turning things around. The gospel is contrary to this world. The Bible is clear. We are not of this world. You're an alien. It's in the Bible. That's what the Bible says. You were aliens to this world. We're ambassadors of a different kingdom. We've come to represent God in this kingdom. Now we're in the world, and we've got to be careful we don't go, well, I shouldn't be in this world, so I'm just going to remove myself. No, no. We're called to be in the world, but we're not of this world. We have a higher calling. We come from a different place. We live by different principles. And that is why I just want to, again, emphasize what Jess said about Rock Nations coming up. Because at Rock Nations, we have this opportunity to help these young people be immersed in a godly culture where they're going to be strengthened and encouraged. You know, we are trying to, there's that word in Joshua we've come across before where about consecration. You know, we're supposed to consecrate ourselves before God, live set apart for Him. But we are trying to be consecrated in a world of compromise. And young people especially. And so it's so important that we set that scene because the gospel of Jesus is contrary to our society. And that's why in Romans 12, it talks about don't be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's what we're called to do. And it's with that in mind that I want to give you the subject that I want to talk about today, because I want to reclaim a word that if you take the flow of society, society says it's negative, it's bad, it's wrong, it's weak, and therefore we should dismiss it and not stand or rely on it and trust in it at all. But when you read the gospel and we read the Bible, there's a very different message that I want to bring to you. And I want us to look at this today. And the word I want to talk about today is surrender. And the title of the message today is Strength in Surrender, because there is strength in surrender. Can we just pray for a moment? Father God, we thank you for your word. And as we approach your word, we ask Holy Spirit that you would speak to our hearts today. God, I ask that you would take my words and just make them your words today, that you would do something through me to communicate your heart and your hope and your love for people, Father God. Holy Spirit, would you speak to our hearts as we listen to you today in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. When we think of surrender in the world's terms, I wrote down a few things I thought of. I thought, you think of waving a white flag. Don't you? Just hiding behind something, waving a flag, I give in. We think of that exactly, giving in. Just like giving up, checking out, well, you know, I've packed in. And you think you've lost. That's what surrender says. When we were little and with the kids, we used to build barricades in the house and have Nerf wars, you know, with the little rubber darts, little foam darts. And usually it ended with me shooting one of them in the eye and tears, but not intentionally. But there was that point where you just think, I've run out of ammo, and you just, you know, I give in, I surrender. And that's sort of what we think of surrender. It's about putting your hands up. It's about relinquishing control. And all of these things the world tells us are negative. The dictionary definition, check this out, is to stop resisting an enemy or opponent and submit to their authority. To give up or to hand over your rights. Doesn't sound great, does it? Yet the Bible, Matthew 16, verse 24 and 25, Jesus said to his disciples, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. For listen to this, for whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it. Totally the opposite. As Christ laid down his life for us, he calls us to lay down our lives for him. He doesn't demand anything of us. He doesn't demand perfection, good works, good deeds, being on our best behavior. He doesn't demand anything from us. All he demands from us is our surrender. That's what he's after from you and I, to lay it all down, our hopes, our dreams, our doubts, our fears, our agendas, But what's on the other side of that is the new life that he has promised to give us. We give him full access so that he can move inside of us. There is strength in surrender. We think surrender is weak in the world's eyes, but it actually takes a strong man or a strong woman to surrender. It takes boldness and it takes courage and it takes faith and it takes strength to say, do you know what? I haven't actually got all this together. And I'm going to trust in God. Or I'm going to get help. I'm going to seek out help and I'm going to ask for help. It takes strength to do that rather than just feel like we've got it all together. It takes strength to say, I'm going to give up my rights. I'm going to give up what I want in favor of what God wants from me or what will serve others. It takes strength. But we don't like to let go, do we? We don't like to give up control. And you might say, well, I'm not a controlling person. Tell the person next to you, I'm not a controlling person. I'm not a controlling. Now, if you're married, keep looking straight ahead at this point. Because I listen, guys, I'm not a controlling person, right? But when Shirley says, that's my wife, shall I drive? There's a sense of no. I'm going to admit there has been moments where I've said yes, and within 15 minutes I said, "Do you want to just pull over so I can drive?" Anybody that's been in a car with my wife driving, might, what? No, I've got the microphone, so you know I'm not controlling, but. Oh, how many of you say, I'm not controlling, but how many have said this phrase? Do you know what? I'll just do it myself. Do you know what? Leave it. I'll just do it. I'll just sort it out. But we're not controlling. We're not controlling. But when you mow the lawn, you do it with a spirit level and lines and a tape measure. But we're not controlling, but do not come in the kitchen when I am baking or cooking, or because that's not how you cut that and that isn't how that works. So we all have these, I know that's none of us in here, none of us in here are controlling. But we do get to that point, why? Because we like things a certain way, and I make myself sound like a grumpy old man, but I like the certain things I just like doing a certain way, like in our house. I wasn't going to say this, but it's like therapy now. I refuse to let Shirley, you know, if you get a loaf of bread that's not pre-sliced, yeah. I mean, she would cut it with a spoon. Just. And I'm watching, I'm thinking. So let me do it. I get the sharp, I get the bread knife. She's hacking at it with a butter knife or the back end of a spatula. I'm like, whoa, 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 whoa. How thick do you want it in millimeters? And I will perfectly. But I'm not controlling. But we don't like to let go, do we? Why? Because we find comfort in the things that we can control. And I want to suggest to you that not only is there strength in surrender, which I want to go on to show you, but actually there is a fight to surrender. There is a fight going on the inside of us to surrender. Well, I'm sure, Jock, you've stood on this stage before and said, we're supposed to fight, and now you're telling us we're supposed to surrender. So do we fight or do we surrender? And it's true, there are times when we're called to fight, and we're not called to surrender to our flesh, surrender to the enemy, surrender to some of those desires, but we are called to surrender to God. We're not surrendering to an enemy. We are surrendering to a God who is our maker, to our God who calls us, to our God who built you for a purpose and knows exactly what that purpose is. We're called to surrender to the one who anoints us and appoints us and places us in situations for such a time as this. That's the God that we're called to surrender to. We're called to surrender to a God who works all things out for the good of those who love him. We're called to surrender to a God who is kind, who is loving, who is a God of justice, who is a God of faithfulness. That's the God that we're called to surrender to. And we've got to remember, Jesus fought for surrender. Jesus came to give his life, and he gave his life ultimately on the cross in a sign of surrender. But even before that, he had those moments. Do you remember when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane just before he was about to go to the cross, and he knelt down on his knees and he knew what was ahead of him. He knew he was going to die on that cross. But he said to Father God, he said, God, speaking of the pain that he was going to go through, he likened it to the cup of suffering. And he said, God, if possible, take this cup of suffering away from me. But then he said the most important part, which is, but not my will, your will be done. And in a moment, that man, Jesus, fully God but fully man, surrendered himself to God. So he was going through a battle to surrender. The Bible tells us in that moment, he was going through such anguish and pain in that decision. So we too have to fight for surrender. And I love this passage in Ephesians 6 where it goes on to talk about the armor of God. But let me just read you this first part where it says, Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. So that tells us we are in a battle, correct? Agreed? But our battle is a spiritual battle. It's not against people, it's not against flesh and blood. And there is a time when we need to go to war. There is a time when we need to declare God's promises. There is a time when we need to bind the enemy. There is a time when we need to speak truth. But there is also a time where it says, after you've done all that you can do, to stand. You've done everything that you know to do. But we're called then to stand, to trust him for the victory. And just think about it for a moment. All of the armor of God is forward facing. It doesn't say anything about the back plate of righteousness. It's the breastplate of righteousness. All of the armor that we're called to put on is forward facing. Why? Because you are not called to retreat. Child of God, you are called to advance into all that he has for you. But notice also that there's only one offensive weapon in the armor of God, which is the sword. Everything else is a defensive piece of armor. Why? Because he's already won the battle. Amen. We're just walking forward, following the Lord who's won the battle, taking the sword with us. But the role of a lot of this armor is to extinguish the fiery arrows, the things the enemy throws at us. But if we stay in God's camp, if we stay in the right mindset of what he says about things, in the truth of his word, we're going to keep walking forward. And that's when we've got to keep going in that victory. We've done all that we can do, but to remember, we fight from a place of victory. So often we want to try and take things into our own hands, but God's saying, yeah, get armored up, stand on the word and do that, but then follow what God is doing. Trust in him, trust in his faithfulness, trust in his kindness. So we stand, after all else we can stand, and this picture of just surrender. Let God be God and you be you. There's a fight going on to surrender because the urge to control things is just all around us. Think about examples in the Bible, people who took things into their own hands. There's plenty. There was the Israelites who were saying, God, we want a king, we want a ruler, we don't just want judges, we want kings. And God said, it's not a good idea. It's not going to go well. But they demanded, they said, but we want it anyway. And God said, well, if that's what you want, you can have it. And sure enough, it didn't go well. Think about Moses, who took things into his own hands to kill an Egyptian. But God was going to bring deliverance, but it wasn't now. It wasn't in this time. And it brought so much heartache to them. Think about Abram and Sarai, who took things into their own hands to have a child that wasn't in God's timing. And what happens is, because of that need to control, we try and play God, don't we? We try and push things, I'll just help you out a little bit, Lord, because, you know, I'm just going to push things along a bit. And what we're saying is, God, I trust you, but I think I can do a bit better, which is called pride. And so we do things, if we think of modern day examples, and, you know, Cheryl and I have been in this church 27 years now, and we've seen a few things. We've seen examples like this where people know God's called them here, and yet they don't get the job that they need or that they want straight away. And so they go chasing a career somewhere else, even though God's called them here. And they find the career and they find the job, but often lose contact with the church, lose community, lose their spiritual walk. And God was like, well, yeah, because I know it wasn't here yet, but it's more than just a career. It's about your calling in God. I've seen people say things about them, or a rumor goes around, or somebody said something, and then that becomes their mission to, well, I've got to put it right, and now it's he says and she says, and then they're saying things about them, and then it's all escalating. But whoa, 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 whoa. God fights your battles for you. Just let God be God. Just surrender. Because what happens is offense then builds up inside, negativity builds up inside. Sometimes we just need to surrender, say, God, I don't like what that person's done. I don't like what that person said, but God, I'm just trusting in you. Just trusting that promotion comes from you, that peace comes from you. Or what about this? People go looking for a good, single people now, just a good Christian girl. Or just want a good Christian guy. But you can't find a good Christian guy. So we'll just find a good guy. Listen to me, the person that you marry, after responding to Jesus, the second most important decision you will make is who you align yourself with in marriage. So we think, well, we just try and rush it and put it in God's timing, in our timing. God's like, no, I've got somebody for you, but we try and rush the process. And I tell you what, it's not going to end well. It's not God's perfect plan for you. And if you've done that and you think, oh, I'm here and I've done that, there's no condemnation in that. God will work it out from where you are. But anybody that's single in here, don't rush it. At the same time in all these things, do everything that you can do. If you need a job, you're not going to get a job unless you apply for a job. You need to write your CV. You need to work on your interview tech. You've got to do what you can do. You're not going to get married and meet somebody if you never leave your house. If you never go on a date, you're allowed to date people. So I think we've got to do what we can do, but then trust God to do the rest. William Booth said this, the greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. The greatness of a man's power is the measure of his surrender. And I just want to remind you three thoughts here, despite what the world says. There is strength in surrender. How do I know that? Because 2 Corinthians 12:9 says, my grace is sufficient for you because my power is made perfect in your weakness, or my strength is made perfect in your weakness. When we get to the end of ourselves, and we say, God, I am all out of ideas. I don't know what you were thinking, Lord. I don't know what was supposed to happen, but this does not look like it was supposed to look. And so, God, I'm over to you. God's like, great. You've stopped playing God now, have you? Fantastic. Let me take over and seek him in that. Because when we get to that point of weakness, when we get to the end of ourselves, that is when God begins. And like I said earlier, if we're acting like we've got it all together, where's the room for God? Are we going to allow God to break in? Are you okay, brother? Yes, I'm all good. And you know your finances are a mess, your marriage is going downhill, your relationship, you're having a problem with the kids, but no, it's all good. It's all good, brother. No, it's not. It's a point where we've got to say, God, it's a bit of a mess. I need some help. I'm coming to you, Lord. And just surrender those things. Because otherwise we just act out of pride. We act out of our own strength and we just work harder to try and fix things. But it's not by might. It's not by power. It's by my Spirit, says the Lord. There is strength in surrender. There is also peace in surrender. There is peace in surrender. Why? Because of the one that you are trusting in. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is our comfort. He has plans to prosper you. He is using you to build for his glory, to make you a shining example of his goodness. His favor is on you. He has put his light inside you to get it out. So he is going to bless you. He is going to strengthen you. That's why we looked at Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Now, it doesn't necessarily mean the situations will immediately change around you, but something happens on the inside when we decide to give up control and say, God, you know what? I don't know what to do with this. But Lord, I'm leaving it with you. And I'm reminded of that image of Jesus in the boat. He's in the storm. The storm is going on and Jesus is asleep. You can have that peace in the middle of a storm, because Jesus is in your boat. Jesus is living inside of you. You can have that peace, but only when you stop panicking and being overwhelmed by the storm around you and say, do you know what? I've got Jesus. So I'm going to trust in him. I'm going to surrender it. And I'm going to find that peace. There is strength in surrender. There is peace in surrender. There is also purpose in surrender. To give in to God, to lay down our own hopes and dreams and just give it to God is sometimes a difficult thing to do. But just think of Jesus. Philippians tell us that being in the very nature God, he didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped or take advantage of, but instead he humbled himself and made himself a servant. When we lay down our life, this is where I started. When we lay down our life is when we find it. When we surrender to him is when we find our true life, our life of purpose and meaning. And it's not about trying to be someone to prove to the world, but it's about doing it for an audience of one person, and that is Jesus. And so as the band are going to come up, and I'm going to invite us in a moment to pray, and I think it would be good if anybody wants to respond by coming forward. Let's do that. Well, actually, in a moment, I'll instruct us, but just put it in your brain now. I'm going to offer an opportunity for people to come forward, and I'd like to pray for you, and some of the team will be down here to pray. Because I just want to ask you this question today. What is it that you need to surrender? What are you trying to control? What is the loaf of bread that you want cut perfectly? What is the thing that you don't want to let go of? But God's saying, I just need you to trust me. I need you to find the peace in this. I need you to find the hope in this. I need you to let it go. I'm resisting singing a song from Frozen here. But don't. I don't have the range. But sometimes it's as simple as going, God, I just need to let it go. And a while ago, somebody taught me a great way to pray is when you pray, just to like hold your hands out before God and just imagine just letting go. Just open palms and just saying to God, you know, these things that I'm bringing to you in prayer, Lord, just, God, I'm just letting them go. Because it's only when we get that revelation of him and our trust in him that we can actually have that peace and we find that strength. And it takes a strong man. Guys specifically, we're the worst at this sometimes. We try and control everything and we want to keep face and make it all look good. Sometimes we just need to let go. Just be honest before God. So maybe you're going to come forward and you think, I need to let go of some doubt. Maybe you need to let go of some fear. And here's the thing, when we come forward and pray, We can pray for a breakthrough, but today I don't want us necessarily to pray for a breakthrough in the circumstance. I want us to pray for a breakthrough in us. The situation might not have changed. It might have, but it might not have changed when you leave here. But you will have changed. And so your mindset's changed. Your heart's changed. Your level of worry and stress has changed. Your level of fear has changed because you've given it over to God. Some of you are beating yourself up because of a decision you made. It might be a financial decision that you made. And it might be years ago. It could be decades ago. It could be weeks ago, months ago. Some of you in here and you regret a relational decision. You think, I should have just keep going back. I should have done that better. I should have never invested in that. We should have never done that. You can only start from here. And like on your sat nav, when you've gone wrong, it reroutes. And God is the best at rerouting you and getting you on track. And there's no condemnation for how you might feel you have gone completely the wrong direction, that you've done a full Jonah and ended up inside a whale. And you're thinking, how have I got here? God's like, it's okay. I can get you back to Nineveh. I can get you back to where you're supposed to be. What regret are you holding on to? What is it that you're holding on? You think, oh, shouldn't have done that. You just need to let it go. Some of you are angry. And there's some, you just need to let it go. You don't have the why. I don't know why this happened, God. You just need to let it go. And I believe that today we're going to walk out here different. There's going to be a fresh freedom and a fresh lightness in us because we just surrender it to God. A God who loves us, a God who has the best for us. And like I've said, it's not easy. And I just want to, in advance, applaud and commend every single one of you that's going to come forward, or every person that prays with, talks to God about this today, because it's not easy to do. We love to just want to hold on to it because I feel comfortable in it. But there's better for you. There's freedom on the other side of this. So the team are going to lead us in a song. Let's stand, let's sing this song together.
Thanks for joining us. We pray you feel encouraged by this word. We would love to hear from you, so why not connect with us via the website at lifechurchhome.com or on our socials at Life Church Home. Have a blessed week and we'll see you soon.